Well, let's begin. Turn to 142. We're going to sing, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Fathers, we bow down before you this morning. We just thank you that we can gather once again and look at your word and join together in prayer. And what a joy it is to be able to pray to you and to be able to bow down to you and know that you, as the awesome Lord God of heaven, the sovereign, awesome and great God, still hear our prayers and exhort us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so what a joy to know that you want to talk to us. You yes. want to communicate. You want to hear. So, Lord, we just want to bow before you for a few moments and then just respond as you lead us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, turn to Numbers 11 today, if you would. Last week, we looked at the prayer of Moses when the people were complaining, and we had that mixed multitude that stirred up the people, and they were complaining about the quail, and they said, we should want to go back to Egypt, where we had leeks and cucumbers and garlic, and oh, it was so good back then, and who could stand this loathsome manna? And so, of course, the Lord was angry, and Moses kind of blew it. You know, his prayer was in verse 11 of Numbers 11. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore'? Where am I to get meat to feed all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now." Now that's a willing servant, isn't it? Kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. And I mentioned last week, there were just a whole bunch of different things that we saw. Do you ever find yourself discontent with the good things God has provided you? And do you spend all your time reading books other than the Bible? How much on each? Do you think, well, the Bible is not sufficient, I need more than that? And do you ever color your own and possibly others' discontent with the wrong emphasis or untruths? And when upset, do you murmur inside and out, or do you take your situation to the Lord in prayer? So I was just curious how many of you had a week of complaints or a week free of complaints, or if you noticed any difference this week and last. And then also we talked about how selfish are you, and do you frequently value yourself more highly than you ought, as Moses got so upset here. And then lastly, how merciful are you when you observe others failing? Well, today I want to look at the merciful response of God here in answering these prayers. And you know, the people deserve nothing but being wiped out. Moses really deserved nothing but being set aside, as he got so angry and said, if you treat me like this, kill me here and now. But the Lord is so gracious. So look in verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "You gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and of officers over them." So he's not saying, let the people elect 70 because they're too tumultuous and so forth. And he asked Moses to pick the 70. Then he says in verse 17, then. So it's kind of like, you know, when you calm down, I'll speak to you. Then I'll come down and talk with you there. I'll take some of the spirits. So I will equip these people to help you. I'll take some of the spirits upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. So God mercifully answers Moses' prayer, even though Moses, you know, throws his little tantrum and says, kill me, you know. And I just can see myself in here so clearly as to, you know, how often I may get either angry, upset, or irritated. And the Lord is so gentle and does give us things to do. And then maybe it says, when you calm down, I'll talk to you some more, you know. Then in verse 18, he says, the Lord is mercifully going to grant the people their wish for their lustful desire for meat. But he says, set yourselves apart, for you shall have meat tomorrow. And you shall tell the people, the Lord will give us meat, and you shall eat. Not just a day, not just 2 days, not just 5 days, not just 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a month. And then God mercifully is going to show how when we crave and lust something so much, he's going to demonstrate how quickly that can become loathsome to us, really loathsome to us. And so that's what's going to happen here. But now look at Moses in verse 21. He doubts the Lord, doesn't he? And really he says, hey, there's 600,000 men here. Yet you say you're going to give them meat for a whole month? And see, God, Moses is going to plan for God now, right? Because he's going to tell God it's too big a job. You can't do it, really. Or maybe it's not so much that, it's just that he's recognizing, you know, 600,000 men plus women and children, that's a million, million and a half people. You're going to give them meat for a month? You know how much livestock that's going to take? That's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of heads of cattle. So he says in verse 22, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them? Because he's visualizing feeding a million and a half people meat a month. And that is a lot of meat. And now the Lord responds, again gently, but he says, you know, has my arm been shortened? Now you shall see what I say will happen to you or not. Now, you know, God has been showing Moses and the children of Israel miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He's been providing manna for them now for a period of time every single day. So the Lord mercifully is going to go ahead and give them the meat. And so Moses goes out and he gathers the 70 elders. And then the Lord came down and laid his spirit on them. And so they prophesied, although they never did. Now we have a little introduction here of Eldad and Medad, and there's a real good lesson here for us, I think. Now, in God in laying his hand on these 70 guys, two of them here, Eldad and Medad, they started prophesying, but they had not come to the tabernacle. They were prophesying out in the camp. And so a young man comes running in. He says, hey, these two guys are out there prophesying in the camp, and now Joshua, good old Joshua, you know, valuable Joshua, a good man, but notice how he strays away here a little bit. He says, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Moses said to Joshua, are you zealous, or another translation of that is jealous, are you jealous for my sake? Isn't that an interesting question? Can you not see others serving the Lord who aren't serving quite the same way you do, or they don't worship quite the same way you do, or they don't come to the same place to worship that you do, and all of a sudden you decide they don't know how to do it. They're not doing it the right way. You know, when you pray, you're supposed to kneel down and fold your hands and close your eyes, and I notice that person over there is praying with their eyes open. That's not right. And so you get all jealous and zealous here. And so Moses says, are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the peoples, all that the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. You know, Paul said, praise God if the word is being preached, you know. Amen. And of course, I find myself traveling. Oftentimes I'll see people and they'll tell me how wonderful Benny Hinn is and how wonderful Copeland is and Hagen and some of these, and Bob Shuler and some of these others. Mm-hmm. And you want to say, blah, you know. But I try to temper myself a little bit and just go a little, you know, not real loud. But if the Lord's word is being spoken, we praise God for that, and we need not, we don't want to be jealous, because look at kind of one of the things that seems to come to me in this is Joshua was proud to be one of the 70 guys, and he was proud to just to be selected and do it the right way. And here he finds a couple of guys aren't doing it the right way. They didn't come into the tabernacle. And he's quick to say, forbid them, right? And don't you see yourself in that? And I see myself in that. We are so zealous to do it what we think is the right way. And if you do it another way, your way is probably wrong. You know, so the Lord ought to stop you. You're not doing it my way. You're doing it wrong. But Moses says no. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that he would put his spirit upon them. Now, in verse 31, the Lord sends the quail. And notice the people's response to this lustful desire. Verse 32, they stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day. So they stayed up 2 days and one night gathering quail. He who least gathered had 10 omers. Do you know how much an omer is? That's a donkey load. They each gathered a minimum of 10 donkey loads of quail. Now that's some heavy-duty quail, isn't it? And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. And while the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and he struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. Now, turn back to Psalm 106 is a commentary on this, and also Psalm 78 is a commentary on it too. But in 106, just notice how accurate this verse is. Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. And God tested them in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. So it looks to me like God is so merciful, he will grant you your prayer request. And if you want something, even if it's not the best for you, he still may go ahead and give it to you. But notice this, if it's not in his best will, it'll be leanness in your soul. And so they, the ringleaders here, I believe, of this lust stuff died because of the Lord took them. And they got sick, and they had the meat coming out their nostrils, and it became loathsome to them. And that's pretty much what materialism will always do for us, because we quickly get tired of it and it becomes loathsome to us. Spiritually, it never happens, but in looking for the lusting of the flesh, that is what happens. So remember not to be jealous over others in the ministry. Moses was willing to have these 70 people help him, it appears. And are you willing to have people help you? Do you want to hold things back and want to kind of hog it, so to speak, because you don't want to give up your position in any area? Are you willing to share and willing to let others assist you, particularly in those areas of where you think you really have maybe some special, I mean, maybe you got a famous recipe or something. You really don't want to kind of let anybody else really in for that, because every time you serve it, people go, wow, this is great. I sure wish I could do that. But you don't want to show them that because you kind of want to hold on to it. Maybe that doesn't fit any of you. I don't know. But it seems to me that is a very fleshly thing here we see. And Moses was willing to share with these 70 people. Now, at this point, apparently these 70 elders are going to last. And they're going to last kind of all the way through in the tradition, because we even had the 70 people in the Sanhedrin, even in Jesus' day. And 70 is kind of an interesting number. In Luke 10, you know, Jesus picked out 70 disciples to send out. And we had, supposedly, in the Septuagint, that's 70. So there were 70 people who translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek way back when. So 70 is kind of a consensus, kind of a number of a large enough group that you should have some effectiveness in the size of the group, and yet not so big that you lose the ability to be effective. And so we see the Lord answering the prayer here. We see his merciful nature, and we see, even though we don't know what to pray for, and we also often ask for things that are wrong for us, he will still see us through if we but follow him. But if we get headstrong and really get over into lust and so forth, then it'll end up loathsome to us, won't it? Father, we just thank you for this prayer and the answer to it, and we see ourselves so clearly in the children of Israel. And Lord, even sometimes we see ourselves in the mixed multitude, even worse than the children of Israel. So Lord, I pray we would not be murmuring, we would not be complaining, but we would be taking things to prayer. And we would be following you, not leading you. We would be asking you, Lord, show me, tell me, work through me, as opposed to, Lord, I'm going to do it this way, now you bless it. Oh no, Lord, may we not be in that vein. And may we not want the old things. May we not want the old Egypt things, Lord. But may we look to you and recognize that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, Lord, any of the bitterness that we may hold, any of the lack of forgiveness that we may hold, Lord, any of the mental sins that we may hang on to, Lord, I pray that you would take those away from us, and Lord, forgive us for them, and Lord, may we be free from jealousy, and free from that selfishness, Lord. And here we are with the opportunity to pray to you, and you've given us that power of prayer. And so, Lord, teach us to pray, and Lord, help us to remember the gospel. As Paul said, separated to the gospel of God. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. Socialism is good. Social help is good. But much more than social aspects of serving you is the gospel, Lord. And so may our lives not pass this day or any day without some aspect of being accountable and being a witness for the gospel, Lord. We can feed people, we can clothe people, we can do all these things which are great, but if they're still lost, what good is it to send them to hell with a full stomach, so to speak, or send them to hell healed? We often pray for healing prayers, but Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, we're talking about not saved people. So, Father, guide us now in this time of prayer, and just lead us to pray as you would have us to pray. For the church, for the pastors, for the ministries, for the men's conference, and for the Darwin thing, and for the awakening, and just all of these various things, for the missionaries, Lord, and for the leaders too, Lord. We need to pray for our leaders. We're exhorted to pray for our leaders. We exhorted to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem, and the family, friends, lost ones, Lord. Whatever, Lord, guide us now, and may we respond as you prompt us, in Jesus' name. Amen.